Yeah, I was just saying amen to what's been shared already here this morning. Yeah, so good to hear from Crit and Justin, Seth, just to see, what God is doing different places around the world. I'd like to just start out this morning by sharing a little bit of some of the suffering that people are experiencing around the world this morning. You know, as we, came here to church this morning. I feel most of us have experienced relatively little suffering this week. It's awesome to be here without, freedom, with freedom of religion, without fear of being persecuted, without loved ones in serious danger this morning. But this is not the story of the whole church this morning. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering deeply around the world today. Just the latest news on the Israel-Palestinian conflict. Right now in Gaza, as of last night, there's been 11,078 people killed. And on the Israeli side, 1,405. And just to put a face on some of these, on the Gaza side, 4,506 children. So we're not talking just soldiers here. 4,506 children, 3,027 women. In the past 3 weeks or so, this fighting have been killed, slaughtered. Every hour in Gaza, 15 people are killed, 6 of whom are children. 35 people are injured, and 42 bombs are dropped every hour in Gaza right now. 12 buildings are destroyed. This is what the church is experiencing around the world today. Meanwhile, the current death toll of the Russia-Ukrainian war lies right at around 500,000, with no clear end of war in sight. 500,000 people have been killed in the past year or so in this war. Every day, 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of faith. Every day, 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. And every day, 12 Christians are unjustly arrested or imprisoned, and another 5 are abducted. This comes from an Open Doors report. The president of Open Doors says this. He says that the numbers of God's people who are suffering should mean the church is dying, that Christians are keeping quiet, losing their faith, and turning away from one another, he stated. But that's not what's happening. Instead, in living color, we see the words of God recorded in the prophet Isaiah. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. The listed nation contains 309 million Christians living in places with very high or extreme levels of persecution. So around the world today, 309 million Christians living in places with very high or extreme levels of persecution. That's up from 260 million Christians last year's list. And depending on how you, how you define persecution, that number could be even a lot higher. One statistic I saw said 1 out of every 7 Christians around the world today is in a place of extreme persecution. So this morning, I feel like what God has laid on my heart is just to share about the place of suffering in the lives of the church, in the lives of us as Christians. So I have a lot of scripture, a lot that God's been putting on my heart, and what does it look like to enter into Christ's sufferings, and what is the place that suffering plays in the life of a Christian? And we might not be experiencing this kind of suffering that many Christians are experiencing around the world today, this kind of persecution. But many of us do experience suffering. We will experience suffering. Jesus said, don't be afraid, don't be surprised, the fiery trial that's going to try you. You're going to experience this suffering. So if we don't have the correct theology of suffering in the Christian's life, we're going to be disillusioned. We're going to be confused and wonder, why are we experiencing this suffering? But if we go back to the Word of God and see what does Jesus say about suffering, I think we're going to be encouraged. And so that's some of what I'd like to do this morning. Initially I feel like God put this message on my heart through a verse, maybe a little bit out of context, but 1 Corinthians 10:16. says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And that first line just like, yeah, God just like really gave that to me, really jumped out at me, that this cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And for me, it felt like a word from the Lord that suffering and participating in the blood of Christ is a cup of blessing. I believe he doesn't say this cup of suffering, this cup of pain, trial. He says this cup of blessing. So it's my heart that we come to see the suffering in our lives as a blessing from the hand of God, our good Father. And that we can see the privilege that we have to enter in and participate in the communion of the blood of Christ this morning. So I have a lot of scripture here. We'll see what all we get to. But I would like to start in some of Jesus' teaching in Luke 14, 25 to 33. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. These are the clear words of Jesus this morning. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, we have this situation where James and John come to Jesus asking him if they can sit at his right hand in the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to read these verses. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may have one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. With the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. 1 Corinthians 10:16 again, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? It's the church of Christ this morning. Jesus invites us to participate in the cup that he drank, the communion of the blood of Christ. Matthew 26, 26 to 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Going on to verses 39 to 42. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. John 18, verse 11, after Peter strikes off the ear of the servant of the high priest, he says, So Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? So we see Jesus surrender to the Father in drinking the cup of suffering that was his. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. Indeed from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So what is the place that suffering has in the life of a Christian? I'm not here to preach a message on communion this morning. God has been showing me a lot in relation to communion and the significance that has, just the powerful symbolism that is there. And the gift that we have to participate in the body and blood of Christ, and it goes so much beyond, a little bit of grape juice and a wafer. Participating in the communion of the blood of Christ is such an incredible reality for us as Christians. But let's read 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. What is the place that suffering has in the life of a Christian? What does participating in the body and blood look like? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Paul doesn't talk about partaking in the sufferings of Christ as a bad thing here. He lifts it up. He says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. As we experience and participate in the sufferings of Christ, we experience a deeper level of knowing Christ. How many of us this morning want to know Christ more and deeper? How many of us have a cry on our hearts like Paul had, that I may know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, the power of the resurrection? Are we willing to go through the cross? Paul says in Colossians 1:24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul rejoiced in his sufferings. I know exactly what he means by saying he fills up in his flesh that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, but I believe there's a real picture here in that as the body of Christ, We are given the privilege to enter in to the sufferings of Christ. And in some way, we are completing the suffering that Christ experienced here. The church of Christ today, the bride of Christ, has this privilege of entering into the communion of the blood of Christ, not only in the power of the resurrection, yes, that is so huge, but in that going through the cross and participating in the sufferings of Christ. And go on to Philippians 3, 7 to 11. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul saw that to know Christ fully, to know the power of his resurrection, involved the fellowship of his sufferings. Say it again, are we willing for the cross to do its work in our lives this morning? Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. In one place says, daily, and follow me. The cross wasn't pretty. How often do we meditate on the blood of Christ? Recently, I was, looking at the news for the war in Israel, in Gaza, and just seeing some clips after Hamas had gone in and they were just massacring people. And there was some pretty bloody footage that I saw. And it did something to me, just seeing live footage of one, room with literal blood splattered on the walls and people lying dead, and just after Hamas had gone in and massacred there. Blood means death, loss of life. Are we willing for the cross to have its work in our lives? Do we want to know Christ so much that we can pray with Paul that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that the cross can have its way in my life? We will never walk in the fullness of the Spirit outside of this. Galatians 5, the chapter of the fruit of the Spirit, and then the beautiful fruit of the Spirit in the life of a Christian. Verse 24 says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We will never experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives like God wants to see outside of the cross, outside of crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires completely. Galatians 6:14, Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul made his boast in the cross. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 12 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death working in us, but life in you. Do we want the life of Jesus to be manifested in our lives? Not going to get it without the cross. I mean, Paul gets pretty gory here in his way of just explaining this, saying, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always. In our bodies, caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do we do that? What does it look like? The first part of this is, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. As we experience these sufferings in our lives, are we joining and partaking in the sufferings of Jesus? Or do we just see it as an annoyance that we have to go through tough stuff? Are we bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, participating in the communion of the blood of Christ? I love the last part of Romans 8. Paul is talking here just about the triumphant life of a Christian, what it looks like to thrive as a Christian. Verses 31 to 39, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ, God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Are we being killed all the day long? Are we accounted as sheep for the slaughter? We're more than conquerors in this. Do we know what it looks like to suffer as a Christian? We think about the body of Christ that's suffering around the world today, and those who maybe we know, who those right here in our communities who are suffering deeply. Do we have a correct theology of suffering? Do we know what it looks like to conquer in suffering, to be more than conquerors and killed all the day long? Father, would you do that in our hearts? Would you bring us into this, Lord? We go on to 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Therefore, going on to verse 19, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. He says, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. This is participating in my suffering, the communion of the blood of Christ. First Peter 5, verse 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can we enter into the sufferings of Christ? What would we tell a Christian in Gaza right now who's lost everything, who is suffering deeply? What's our theology of suffering? Are we willing to enter into that suffering? Do we see them as to be pitied? What would it look like to come alongside them, hold up their hands, be able to see that they are experiencing and partaking in the communion of blood, the blood of Christ, in a powerful way? Be able to encourage them in that. What does this look like in our lives this morning? The suffering that we face. Are we surrendered to the work of the cross in our lives? Do we want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Do we want to walk in the fullness of God? To go to Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. Ephesians 3, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, we want to know you, your sufferings this morning. God, forgive us for not allowing the cross to do its part in our lives, Lord. God, bring us into all that you have for us this morning. We want to know you, the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. We don't want anything less, God. This life is short, God. It's our only crack at life this side of eternity. God, I pray that you would bring each one of us, each one of this room, into all that you have for us, Lord. God, may we allow the cross to have its way in our lives. God, speak to us this morning, Lord, if there's ways that we haven't been doing that, Father. Convict our hearts, Father. God, show us what it looks like to take up our cross daily and follow you. Show us what it looks like to be those that are Christ, who have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Show us what it looks like to not live in ourselves and yet have Christ live through us. God, we will never be all that you want us to be outside of the cross. God, do that work here this morning in each of our hearts. God, we thank you. We thank your Spirit for being here this morning and speaking to us, Father. We pray that as we enter into this week, God, that we would allow the cross to do its work in our lives. God, we ask that, Father. We surrender ourselves, God, to all that you have for us, Father. God, we don't want anything less. You're a good Father, and you only give us the best. Sometimes that comes in suffering because you know that it will lead us closer to you. You know that it's best for us. God, you never give us anything that isn't the absolute best for us, Father. Help us surrender to that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.